Give us a count around, Joel.
2, 3, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
Hey guys, it's Flying Rich here, and I just like to get a little on my tongue.
Like an inch and a half long.
Right. My wife doesn't care.
Bingo! Showtime!
Well, you were making it for young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room making sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a Lincoln bat. But the show is go direct to DLNTS.org. And IC channels are LinuxLink.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the cast is just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 818 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
I hate it when I mislabel things.
I hear you. We have Joel.
Yo, yo, yo.
And we have Joe.
Hello again.
Excellent. And in case you missed it, we have from listener Chris Harris this wonderful clip.
Hey guys, it's Flying Rich here, and I just like to get a little on my tongue.
There we go. So thank you, Chris, for sending that in. Great show tonight, yeah. I take it, right? Joel's back?
And, hoping so.
I'm kind of bummed that Rich is not here, only because, and this doesn't make sense to me, but after last week, it got stuck in my head. We were talking about the Pinebook here, and I mean, no matter what OS I tried, would not work on this other than the one on the eMMC. And I think Rich had said maybe format the drive before the USB card, the SD card. And get rid of, like, delete all the partitions off of it and everything and just do it that way. So last week, I had tried that. But I was trying to pull down QoS because somebody had said QoS, do the 1080p one and it'll work. But for some reason, I could not get QoS to come down. I tried two times, it would not work. So I tried Armbian. I was like, I'll give one more shot, right? And I was about to give up. And weirdly enough, Armbian worked.
Nice.
I got in there and I was very surprised. Comparatively speaking, using just the very little I did with Armbian compared to the Android install off the eMMC, my thoughts just running the Android thing was like very slow, very plodding, especially trying to load in web pages. So I noticed how snappy Armbian was. And I was like, ooh, this is impressive. Now, I went to fire up a web browser, and lo and behold.
Like, shit, right?
No, I don't know, because it didn't do any network configuration, right?
Oh, okay.
And it's been so long since I've had to configure a wireless interface with iwconfig. And I just, like, I didn't invest any time in research or anything into this. I was like, it's been so long. There's a networks configuration tool on here. It's like the old GNOME one. And I can't tell whether I'm creating a Wi-Fi connection or I'm creating a Wi-Fi connection point, the way that it's worded. It's really bizarre. It's not like network manager or anything like that. None of that is running. I need to, I needed to invest the time to do it, but I thought to myself, that's the problem that I've been having all this time, is I should have wiped out and formatted the card, right? Wiped out all the partitions. So I'm like, all right, I'm not going to mess around with this Armbian now. I don't really have time. I'm just going to pull it out, and I'm going to drop Arch back on here, which was my original choice. Do it that way. And when I came back later, slapped it in, it wouldn't boot again. And I was like, that really bummed me out. Right? Because now it's like, so I don't know what the problem is. I don't know whether it's, again, the SD card, or it's the images I'm pulling down, or the writing process. So their tool pulls the image down, verifies the image, writes the image, verifies that it wrote the image properly, whatever, and then it releases it. So Arch and what are the other choices in there?
Raspbian, Armbian.
I think I tried Arch and then Raspbian, or there's a few other ones I tried.
Android, Bliss OS, but Bliss OS hasn't worked ever for me.
Yeah, I didn't try any of the Androids, because I'm like, I wasn't really interested in trying the Android. It was only the Linux one, except for the QoS system. Well, I tried that. That wouldn't even download, right? It would get like part of the way into it, and then it would just fail. But all of them that I've tried have experienced the same thing. So then I was like, well, all right, what I should really do, since I know Armbian works, the 1080p version of Armbian works, let's drop it on here and fire it up again and see about configuring the network card this time so I can get a better feel for it. That was a little while ago. And lo and behold, now it wouldn't boot Armbian again. Like it was doing the same thing like it did on all the other ones. And I'm like, this makes no sense. I know it works. So I pulled the card out. I pushed it back in, jiggled it a little bit, turned it back on, and it booted. So now what's in my head is like, should I invest the time in getting Armbian to work, you know, the way I wanted to, configuring the network and stuff? Or should I try it with Arch Linux again, put that on there, and try jiggling the SD card like I did when Armbian wasn't working? Maybe there's a loose connection in there, and I just happened to catch it with Armbian at the right time, and that I got a, I don't know what to do, you know? It's just weird.
It's odd.
Yeah, it is odd. So I almost sent it back. I was going to wrap it up and send it back on Thursday, but I tried that. You know, I think if I recall correctly, what I did was I forget what I was doing with the new card. I put the old card back in originally, formatted that, and put something on there and tried it, and it didn't work. And then I was going to send it back, and that's when I'm like, well, let me try with the other card, because if I'd send it back and don't try with the other card, it'll always be bothering me in the back of my mind that I didn't format the card and wipe out all the partitions. Not format, partition it, remove the partitions before I tried. So that's where we're at.
Yippee.
Jolly gee joy. Now I have a question for all of you. I didn't bring this up last week. I kind of wanted to, but we got to the end of the show and I didn't want to really take up too much time. But has anybody here ever used ngrok?
Nope.
Ngrok, like NGROK?
Yes.
No.
Okay, so I had heard of ngrok and I forgot what it was, but we were having a problem in our testing of an application last week. So this was kind of odd, and we were trying to figure out where the problem was. So the way that this works, this testing in particular that I'm talking about, is there's a company called Sauce Labs that does all sorts of different kind of testing, but one of the testing that we go through them for is our user interface testing on our content management system. And the way that this operates in the test environment, instead of like making a direct connection to our production stuff, but when we do a PR and we test a PR, it spins up two containers. On one container is the application that's running, and that is connected to the host network. So it runs the CMS in that container connected to a network of the host. So what that means is it kind of treats itself as if it's part of the host network for whatever's running on it. And case in point, our CMS application runs on, it's a Node.js application, runs on port 3000. So what that means then in the grand scheme of things in a network just in a nutshell is what ends up happening is that application is running in the container on port 3000, and it's like on the host machine that's running it, port 3000 is mapped through to the container. So if on the host machine or any other container connected to the host network, if it were to do like curl or run a browser or something against port 3000, it would actually be hitting the host container's port 3000, which is passed through to the application container. So the second container, the testing container that we spin up, is also part of the host network, and it sends requests through to port 3000. So that goes to the host container, which to the host container, port 3000 is passed through to the application container. Now there's another aspect that's involved here, and this is Sauce Labs. It's an external service. So when that test container spins up, it creates a tunnel between that test container and Sauce Labs, and the tests are executed from Sauce Labs through the tunnel connecting to the application container, running the tests, and then the requests are coming back through. And we have a bunch of tests happening running in parallel, that the way that it executes them. They're not sequentially, they're in parallel. So there's an awful lot of traffic coming through that little tunneled connection that it's running approximately, there's 12 tests, I think. But so we were having a problem where it didn't seem to be making the connection properly, or things weren't working. And because this is running in Jenkins in a container, we can't see what's actually happening. We only get the error messages from the tests, and so we can't see the behavior. So we also have the capability of testing locally, and I had it built, the two containers, and testing locally. And Sauce Labs is pretty interesting that when you log into their web interface and you run the test, so I'm running the test locally on my machine, so that makes a connection, like I said, out to a tunnel out to Sauce Labs. The tests come from Sauce Labs through my container to test the application container. And then on the Sauce Labs UI interface in the web, you can click in there and you can see your test running. And each of the tests that are running are displayed. And if you click on the test, you get a window, a Chrome browser window in the browser. That is your test running in a Chrome browser being displayed on their website through your web browser. And then you can click on that when it becomes active, and actually use that browser like you would use your regular browser and connect to the test application container inside that tunnel to get a better idea of what's going on. So it allowed us to pull up the developer tools in their web application displaying Google Chrome. Really cool stuff. I mean, we had an idea at that point as to why the tests were actually failing, like kind of what was going on, but we didn't know like why it was going on and whether it was an artifact of this tunneled connection through Sauce Labs, because we couldn't replicate that locally. We weren't having those same problems locally. And here's where ngrok comes into play, right? Ngrok does something similar to what Sauce Labs was doing in that case, where it creates a tunnel and funnels requests from that location through the tunnel to the resource that we're talking about, right? So in this case, we take out Sauce Labs and you use ngrok. Now, ngrok is built on open source software, and there was a fork that happened a little while ago. So I can only speak on ngrok current, not ngrok past. But what you do is you get the software, you can download it. There's many different ways that you can download it. Since I was running this on OS 10, I followed the directions. I think I installed it through Brew. Because Brew has that capability. Then you sign up on the ngrok website for a free account. They have different accounts, but one of them's free. And you get a token. And you run ngrok with that token. And it creates a tunnel. You get a connection on a connection link that you can use for that someone else, you can give to someone else, where they can run that and it will tunnel through the ngrok connection to your machine that you're running it on. So like I'm saying, we're gonna test this port 3000 application and see what you see, kind of similar to the way Sauce Labs would. So I gave that link to the person that I was working with, and now he's in Portland and he's on the Portland VPN. Oh, he's on the VPN. I'm on the work VPN. We have a tunnel through into that, my machine on port 3000, to see that application through this service. And it allowed us to identify what was actually happening, which we couldn't see in running it locally through containers, because there was a network issue which appeared to be happening, and the amount of data being sent through the tunnels, it was coming through in a way that was very particular to the application, and things were loading in an incorrect order, which we were able to then adjust accordingly in a more optimized way to allow it to load properly and account for those network lag issues. So ngrok is a pretty interesting application for creating tunnels and be able to do some testing like that if you're behind a NAT or a firewall or whatever. But understand what you're doing, though, too, is you are opening yourself up to, you know, you're essentially bypassing NATs and firewalls when you do that. So understand the ramifications of when you have that software running and you give that link to somebody, that they have that kind of access to bypass your security. It's not something I would use on a regular basis, but in the case of testing, it was very handy.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're going to use it tomorrow. Joel ngrok. It's at ngrok.com.
Nice.
Bum, bum.
Ba-boom. Well, I wish I had any Linux. I got vaguely techie news. Unfortunately, my Traverse is in the shop. The air conditioning did not work very well last weekend when we were doing the drive up to Detroit and all that. So the the diagnosis is, and hopefully get it back tomorrow, is the rear evaporator coil in the traverses out. And did a little research, and this is the reason why I end up paying, especially on cars, paying for extended warranties. Did some looking around on the web. The cost would be probably around $1,600 if I had to pay it out of my own pocket.
Well, how old's your car?
I've had it 2 years.
And your warranty covers, is it the standard like 5 year, 50,000 miles, or what is it?
I have bumper to bumper. I think it's bumper to bumper. Most things bumper to bumper through the period of my loan, which is through GMAC. So basically up until the thing's paid for, 6 years. 6 years.
Oh, 6 years. Okay.
So just one of those repairs could probably pay for the loan. I think one of the reasons why it costs so much is to replace that evaporator. I think they actually have to tear the back seats out.
Nice.
So, yeah, a lot of labor on that. So, anyway, so, at least they gave me a loaner, which is also paid for. And it was a 2019 brand new Chevrolet Traverse LT trim level. It had 15 miles on it when I drove away from the shop.
Did so, you, do you keep up with the, like, the manufacturer maintenance?
Generally, yes, which really, as of late, has been pretty easy most of the time. I think, last time, last time I did an oil change, I did it at a quickie place. But the time before that was when the entire rotation was due. The next time I probably need to either do another tire rotation or at least change like the air filters. Most newer cars, the maintenance is practically nothing. I mean, it's oil changes and just verify everything's in good shape and you're good. So I generally do keep up. And both my cars actually have a little. I won't call it a sensor because it really isn't that, but basically it will tell you when it's time for an oil change. So, and it's usually, I think it usually goes around 10,000. Put it this way, it ain't 3,000. So, I mean, it basically will tell you how much percentage of oil life you have. I know it's not actually looking at the oil or any of that mess, but in my Chevys, I've been sticking to that, and it's been doing okay. So, but yeah, so I do all that stuff and all that. But it wasn't, probably the neatest thing with the 2019. It's got some of the bells and whistles mine have, some that it doesn't. Mine has some things that this doesn't have. Like, mine has the ventilated seats, and the 2019 loaner doesn't, but it does have the heated seats. The 2019 also has Android Auto, mine doesn't. So, which is nice. The thing I like about the entertainment system in this one is that there's a button that you press right under the screen slides up, and there's actually a place where if your phone would fit, mine doesn't, but if your phone would fit, you could basically plug your phone in there and then press the button, and then the phone stays behind the screen. But you can at least put other stuff in there too. So, and the plenty of, oh man, it has so many more USB ports all over the car. Don't even have to worry about anybody who's riding finding a place to charge in that. I don't know if I can get it on my car, but this one has a cargo cover that goes over the cargo area if you fold the third row back down. So mine doesn't have that. I kind of wish it did, but oh well. No worries. I never have any problems with it anyway. The windows on mine are very tinted, so you can hardly tell what's in the car anyway. So, While I was in Detroit last week, probably a little bit more interesting than that, is we got to go visit the Henry Ford Museum. Or they'll call it just the Henry Ford, or the Henry Ford Museum and Greenfield Village, which we skipped the village because it was freaking hot, man. It's like 94, 95 degrees. I know you guys, especially Dan, probably had a lot hotter than that, probably, and high humidity.
It was about 95
to 100. Yeah, it sucks. Oh, it was so hot last weekend. But anyway, but we did pay for, they also have a optional a tour through the Ford Rouge plant, which is now set up to build the Ford F-150 truck. The only thing is, you couldn't take any pictures inside the factory, but you could see it. You can see it, and you walk around it, and you can see them basically every phase of them building a nice, expensive Ford F-150 Raptor truck. It's crazy how much they want for pickups. Doesn't matter who they're made by. I mean, some of the ones I saw there were probably $60,000 to $80,000 trucks.
Ouch.
I remember when pickups used to be freaking cheap. Because everyone wants one now. They're god-awful expensive. But
I had a Chevy Silverado for a few years. 1500. It was a nice truck.
I really want one, too. I was looking at a couple. They had a blue High Country trim level of the Silverado. Gorgeous. And then there's another one there, and I can't remember for the life of me what they called that version of it, but it was a white truck, and it had these big, beefy tires, like off-roading tires, and these black and silver rims on it. Really nice-looking truck, but... I'm not buying one of those. I like a I think it's the Z51 trim level would look nice too, but the best I could afford a pickup wise would probably be the Colorado midsize pickup.
Trucks are nice just as long as the gas is not $4 a gallon.
Yeah, true.
That's why I got rid of mine.
When I saw a friend of ours, friend of the show, Tom Lawrence, bought himself a Tesla Model 3. Must be nice. Wonder if he'll take that to Ohio Linux Fest. Yeah, the Henry Ford, though, beyond the truck, the factory tour, the rest of it was really neat. Like, they had the limousine that Reagan and Bush and I'm trying to remember who all. There's like about four or five presidents who used that limo. It also happened to be the limo that Reagan got shot in. They had Dwight Eisenhower's bubble limo.
Reagan wasn't shot in the limo. He got shot walking out of the building.
He was getting out of it because they actually.
And then they pushed him inside. He got shot when he was outside.
Right, but the bullet actually hit the limo too.
Well, spray and pray.
Yeah, they said that you could probably find it, but I never could. Kennedy's limo was there too, the one he was shot in. So then they had these trains and a lot of historical cars there. Like they had the Dodge Omni, which is one of the first small cars that any American manufacturer made to try and beat Japan. That was in there. It's just bringing back memories of high school, because that's the shit we drove back then. 70s and 80s cars. Mine was a... I had two older cars before I got, like, my first newest one, and that was a... My first one was a 77 Volare. No rich Corinthy leather, just shitty Naga hide. And then, a 1980 Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme. Actually, if I can find a cut, either of those, if I can find either of those that didn't have the bumpers all rusted the fuck out, I'd love to buy one. Unfortunately, those 70s and 80s cars were not that well built.
They got better.
They
the
70,
the 70s were a piece of shits, but the 80s cars got better as it went along.
Well, performance is crap, too, when they first started adding the catalytic converter, too. But is that when it's probably the second, let's see, we were married, and then I was driving back to work in my Cutlass the last day, the first day back to work, and I'm on I-70 and my muffler falls off. I was pissed off. I was just...
Wait, this was a long time ago, right?
It was, yeah.
All right, because I was going to say, wait, you went to Detroit to the museum and then you got married?
No.
You drove home and had air conditioning problems after your muffler fell off?
No.
Okay.
No, this is a long time ago. And that, basically, this is how I started buying other cars other than the piece of shit that my parents got me. So it was 4th of July weekend, and we drove up to the Saturn dealership, and I bought our first Saturn. We had two of those before they killed the car company. I liked my Saturns, except for they were just too fucking little. I remember the last time I went camping, I went in my 99 SL2 that I had. That was not fun. Me, the wife, and Luke, you know, I think he was still in a car seat. And we had that thing so packed, it was not funny. I think there was even stuff sitting next to Luke in the back seat. Not long after that, we got our first minivan. Actually, I should say only minivan, because I haven't bought a minivan since. But back to the Henry Ford stuff, though. I was trying to think what else was there. Oh, they had a Star Trek exhibit there, which is pretty neat. They had models of the Enterprise D, the Excelsior, a lot of different costumes they wore, and they even had some stuff from Discovery in there. But it was really kind of cool. You walked through all of it, and at the end of it, they had a little shop with a whole bunch of overpriced Star Trek stuff. But the Henry Ford's one of those things that I think there's something there for everybody. You know, if you like the technical stuff and math and science, there's that kind of stuff there. If you like the airplanes, they got a pretty good collection of airplanes there. And cars, of course, they have tons of cars in there. It's all pretty cool stuff.
Oy, oy, oy.
So, listen, I stopped with the Star Trek stuff. Have you guys seen the trailer for Star Trek Picard?
No. Is it out?
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
No, it comes out in 2020. But the first trailer was shown at Comic-Con last week.
No, I meant not the movie. I meant the trailer.
The trailer's out.
Is it? I did not. That bums me out. I would like to see that.
Yeah, it's from SDCC. from the San Diego Comic-Con. Probably the most important bits are the end of the trailer. You see Data and Seven of Nine from Voyager.
Yeah, I was a little surprised they got the guy to play Data again. I could have sworn he said he wasn't booked to.
Well, and rumor has it they got Marina Sirtis and what's his face, the play director. They're coming back.
Jonathan Frakes,
yeah. Jonathan Frakes is going to direct some. Star Trek Picard.
Geriatric.
Yeah, I know. He looks so old, man.
He is old. Geriatric generation.
I got Jonathan Del Arco, who played Hugh Borg. He's going to be back as well. So we'll see what happens. That looks promising. And another sci-fi weirdness, they announced that the Orville will not be coming back to Fox, but it is going to be on Hulu.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I guess the story goes is Seth has so much stuff going on, so many shows going on, that they couldn't produce it early enough to get it on the Fox schedule.
That sounds like a load of shit. That sounds like PR.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of what I'm thinking, too. But
give me a fucking break. Everyone's fucking busy.
I just hope it doesn't kill it, because to me, if you pick what's better sci-fi, Discovery or the Orville every day. I like it. At least it's coming back somehow. And I already have it anyway, so it ain't no big deal. Heck, 90% of the time I ended up watching it on Hulu, because who could? I can't be arsed to be at my TV when it's supposed to be on TV. That's what DVRs and Myth TV boxes are for, I guess.
Yeah.
Or just streaming on Hulu, which is what I did.
Well, you know, I have to be honest. I'm not disappointed that it's going to Hulu, all right? Because I wouldn't be able to watch it any other way. Unless...
right.
Yeah, because I think... Wait, it was on Fox, right? Have you completely pulled the
plug? Huh? Yeah, it was on Fox.
But you have to... In order to watch Fox stations online, though, don't you have to be a cable subscriber?
No.
No.
Oh, you don't? You could actually...
No, if you had Hulu, it was just
on
there.
YouTube TV.
Yeah,
well, actually, I don't have YouTube TV, though. It's not
free. I don't have Hulu.
What's that? Yeah, you don't have Hulu. I have Hulu, but not YouTube TV.
Yeah, you could watch it. Even you didn't have to subscribe to cable to watch it on Hulu. You just watched it.
Wait, with YouTube TV, I think we've covered this before, but is it a tiered pricing system? Or is it just one price and you get everything?
What's the new price? It's $50, right, a month?
I forgot.
Well, don't they have YouTube TV and YouTube Red, and there is a difference?
No, I think YouTube TV you get Red, or Premium, I mean, because that's what they call it now, Premium.
Like Cobra Kai? I that's on there. Yeah. I can watch that.
Yep.
But YouTube TV gives you network stations and broadcast stations.
Oh, and live TV, too. Right. Live as well as unlimited DVR.
It's not really a DVR, but okay.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, it's just like the shows are available.
It's an index file. That's all it is.
Well, basically...
An aggregator.
Well, it is and it isn't, because they, when I had it, it did have stuff scheduled. It actually did record the ads, too, but you skip the ads. Not automatically. You could just fast forward and skip them.
See, I feel like it's slowly pulling everybody back in to a... All right. So if you have YouTube TV, you probably also have either Netflix or Amazon Prime or something.
Yep.
Or maybe both. So then,
if you want to watch Disney stuff, you're probably going to have the Disney.
Right. Well, that's what I mean. It's like right now, I feel like if I had YouTube TV, Netflix, and Amazon Prime, but only have Amazon Prime because I have Amazon Prime, not for the but I just have it. But we kind of lump it into that too. So
and if you
we'll say
yeah,
Hulu.
But the other thing you know is if you want to watch any Marvel show or movie, forget Netflix.
Yeah, I'm not there
else.
Yet though, Joel.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is like right now, just those
right.
three things are going to run you. Like as much as it costs for cable, isn't it?
Yep.
And,
in some cases, yeah.
And like so, then okay, now all the cable companies and Disney want in on. They want their own little walled garden and want to charge what $9 plus for access to their service.
I'm gonna say like I think that's what's happening to Friends. Friends is gonna be pulled from Netflix and it's gonna go over to AT&T's video streaming service because they own what network they own now? I can't remember.
Was it ABC or no? Wait, what was Friends on? NBC.
NBC.
NBC. That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah,
but it's not. But it's not who originally aired it though, Dan. It's who originally produced it.
Right, but what I'm saying is now all these companies are going to want their own little walled garden and.
It's complete bullshit.
It's
going to
fracture it so much that nobody's going to want to participate in any of this. Who's going to want to spend like $9 a month for NBC, for Fox, for all these different things? End up spending more money now than you did when you had cable. And the whole reason you got rid of cable was it cost so damn much and you weren't watching anything.
We're all going to go to Myth TV. Not Myth TV, but
BitTorrent.
Cody. Yeah.
Cody. Yeah. I mean, they don't make it easy. Like they couldn't be happy enough. Like I look at YouTube TV. That sounds great. Why does CBS need to do their own thing? And why does NBC or AT&T need to do their own thing? Why not just filter it through YouTube TV or whatever?
Well, and the cable stuff is getting worse nowadays because even like when was I seeing there was a, I want to say Dish Network stopped carrying, like if you have a Dish Network here in Ohio and Columbus, you couldn't get the local NBC affiliate on there. They pulled their feed off from Dish Network because they didn't pay them enough money. That's not a
cable
company. That's a local channel that they're pulling off because the local whoever owns the local NBC affiliate doesn't want they want more money from Dish. So I mean it's crazy complicated and we're never gonna get what we want.
Well, I think we had it pretty good when it was just like YouTube, Netflix, Hulu, and whatever. And everybody was seeming to be doing pretty well, you know.
It's gonna get worse, so yeah, more fragmented. But one upside though is somebody mentioned is that more competition might mean they might drive costs down. I'm not really hopeful for that though. So.
Yeah, but even so, I'm not gonna want to spend like even if it drives price down, like why am I gonna want to spend $5 on five different networks if I want to watch just like one
right.
show. I'm just not going to watch the show. And that's what most people
will
mm-hmm.
make a big comeback.
Torrance?
Make a big comeback.
You know what's probably going to make a big comeback? The library, I guess. I don't know. Maybe people
Maybe.
Will go and read instead.
Well,
or they'll go to YouTube and watch all the free shit over there.
You saw a large decline in torrenting because of the availability of everything online, and now that everything is going to be so spread out again, it's not going to be convenient anymore. So for that convenience, people will start torrenting again.
I would not doubt that it will increase that.
Or something else. Yeah, who knows?
It's just like, I can't see this being a good direction for all these companies. Like that seems like they're almost banking on, we're going to capture a certain segment of the audience and they're going to be loyal to us and give us all the monies at the expense of all the other stations.
I ain't paying for the Disney thing. I just won't watch their stuff. You know, I might go see it. Well, after San Diego Comic-Con and the list of movies coming out, I'm not so sure I want to see a lot of that.
So I don't know.
Yeah, because in one of the 10 movies that they announced at Comic-Con was Thor: Love and Thunder. Apparently, they're picking up the Lady Thor storyline from the comics, which I heard did not do well.
No, it did well. It was good. It was a good story.
Well, you liked it, but sales were not well. There was a lot of people that didn't really like it.
Well, it did pretty well. It was one of if it was really that bad, they would have stopped. It did pretty well. Yeah, I mean, I'm on the fence about Disney. I don't want Disney, but you know, I am intrigued by the Winter Soldier and Falcon, and you know, they're doing a Hawkeye one and then the Loki, and I'm invested in it. So, well, they're canceling Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. now.
One more season.
I think this is the last season, isn't it?
I'm not sure. I thought they were doing one more season after this one, and that was going to be the last one.
No. I don't know what I read, whether it was this is the last season or one more season. But speaking of that, we didn't talk about the big one. Did everybody watch Stranger Things?
I have watched Stranger Things.
Nope.
So that's a yes from you, Pat, right?
Yeah, they rushed it. It was only at 8 episodes. They easily could have went to 10 or 12.
I'm only on episode 6. I was digging it. Wait, am I 6? Like 5 or 6, I think, is where we're at. I was digging it, but I'm like, I said to the wife the other day, I'm like, whoa. It's been like 2 weeks since we finished, you know, we're watching the episodes. What happened? Usually, like, we get that all done in one shot. But I was surprised. So you guys liked it, except it being rushed?
I liked it.
Yeah, no,
overall.
It was good.
People die. That's good.
Well.
Did you see the new season of Black Mirror?
Black Mirror?
Yeah.
I saw some of them.
I saw the first one. I haven't watched the rest of
it. I jump around with that show. You know, it's episode. It's not, you know, they're all standalone, so you can pretty much jump around, you know. There's no continuity at all.
You don't have to rush. Oh, okay. This is a complete different segue, but it's not that far away of when you think of shows, Netflix and stuff. But I happen to end up at Guy Fieri's pizza place. He opened up Guy Fieri's pizza parlor and Guy Fieri's taco joint over here, right?
Did it take you to Flavor Town?
You know what? I will say this about his pizza. They did a fantastic job on the crust, and the sauce was really good too. And the first pizza I had, you know, a slice of pizza I had, it was like more traditional Italian. It had some meats on it and stuff. That was really, it had a weird topping on it, cauliflower. Like, I would never have thought to put cauliflower on it, but it was more of like a pickled cauliflower, gardenia. It was really good. I gave him credit. The cheeseburger pizza, weird. The crust
was
good,
say.
But it was weird because it had like a creamy cheese sauce with like a shaving of meat, I think it was on there, beef, and no, crumbled beef, I think it was. But so it was like kind of creamy, with beef, and then it had lettuce on it. But it was like the lettuce had become wilted from the heat, and I did not. That's not, wasn't. I didn't like it. But their crust and their sauce was pretty good. Would I go back? Eh, I don't know. I'd rather go somewhere else, but it wasn't that bad.
I actually I bought it a couple times and made pizzas at home, but they have that cauliflower crust. It's made out of cauliflower.
Yes, I've had that.
It's actually not bad.
No, that is not too bad.
I put meat on mine now. Some pepperoni, there's some turkey, or actually, I kind of like the turkey pepperoni more lately because it's not as greasy.
It's not that greasy kid stuff. That commercial?
Yeah. Yeah. But kind of an interesting...
greasy kid stuff.
And kind of science-y kind of thing. We're getting ready for this camp trip next month. And I was dinking around in Myers. Myers is a family-run superstore here in Ohio, Michigan, a couple other states, mostly around. It's not anywhere near where any of you guys live. But in their sporting goods department, lo and behold, I came upon these Bridgeford ready-to-eat. They had like sandwiches, wraps, and pizza. And the pizza is actually the exact same pizza that they put in the military MREs. And I've tried quite a bit of it, actually, just because they were actually kind of nice and convenient. And I just pop them open here in my office for lunch. And are they the best things I ever ate? No. But are they worth keeping around? Because they'll keep for years. They'll keep for a long time. But they were pretty decent. It had a little bit of that Bridgeford beef jerky kind of vibe to them as well. So, I mean, the meat was a little harder to chew than, like, the standard piece of pepperoni. Because it was dried pepperoni, essentially, is what it was. But something worth keeping in your prepper kit. Definitely worth keeping some of those in there. I think my favorite one, other than the pizza, was really good, and they had a wrap with Mexican beef in there, and they were like $7 on the sandwiches and pizza. Got you two packages. It's basically a package and then two packages inside that. The wraps, there was only one of them in there. So in the package, it had two little wrap sandwiches in there. But so for about $7, it's not, like I said, it's not the greatest thing in the earth, but it's okay, you know. And then I got to try crawfish etouffee for the first time a week ago Wednesday. Oh, so good, dude. And I also bought some of their fish. And this is at way down yonder, New Orleans. If y'all come out to OLF, we'll make a road trip down there. It's totally worth it.
How far away?
It's all fresh stuff. If you you know where the Cozy Inn is, right?
Yeah.
Right. It's a block up from that. Okay. So it's right. It's like right in my neighborhood. It's less than a mile from my house.
All right.
It's actually in where Long John Silver's used to be.
So instead of a penis being drawn on the door, there's an actual penis nailed to the door of the restaurant, right?
Or you got some homeless dude who broke into that restaurant and stole their register. Seriously, that happened.
What's the name of the restaurant again?
Way down yonder, New Orleans.
Way down yonder, New Orleans. Way down yonder. Oh, okay.
Oh, speaking of which, Rick O'Hara, rest in peace.
Yeah, 75.
Yep.
Passed away.
A lot of great movies he was in. Blade Runner. Lady Hawk.
Yeah, I was going to say Lady Hawk. The Hitcher?
Oh, yeah.
That, I remember that used to play a lot on HBO.
There, I put the link to the place in the to their website in IRC. I've had their jambalaya is good. I had a shrimp po' boy. That was delicious. They put so much shrimp on it, Dan, you have to actually eat shrimp off of it first before you can pick it up and eat it.
Well, their menu looks nice.
And I had the perch. Their perch was excellent. Of course, I took some Louisiana hot sauce and put it on all over that top of that piece of fish. Mm. Have not tried their beignets yet. Or the shrimp and grits. Shrimp and grits, you got to get there pretty much first thing.
Does it sell out really fast?
Well, they only offer it until like 2.
Oh. Was that their breakfast and lunch food?
I guess. I don't know. I don't know the reasoning. I guess they just make up one batch of it and that's it.
Maybe they do more grits for breakfast and then
right.
Switch over to other things. I don't know.
So I need to try some of their other sides too, like their mac and cheese I want to try. And I've probably had okra, like in gumbos and like probably had some in the etouffee, but I never had fried okra.
I don't find it. I'm on the fence about fried okra. It for me, it's not a taste thing on fried on okra. It's more of a texture thing. That's weird about okra to me. If not done properly, it could be very slimy. And even when it's done like really well, I still tend to. It still to me is a little like. Slimy, sticky. It does a great job in thickening sauces and gumbo and everything. So, I mean, that's my impression of okra, but it has a decent taste. I don't think you'll be disappointed, Joel. I didn't sell it very well. Did I lose you, Joel?
No, I muted my headset too. Sorry. Oh. Wife's complaining. Her Windows laptop can't print to the wireless printer, and I don't know why. And she expects me just to fix it all.
Did you tell her to restart it? The computer?
Yeah.
Turn it on, turn it off, right?
And it's probably, I don't know what goes on. Her printer loses printers, or her laptop just loses. I don't have a problem on any of my machines, including my Windows machines.
Is okra big where you are, Joe?
Yeah, it actually is.
Are you a big fan of okra?
I don't mind it.
What about you, Pat? Do you like okra?
It's okay.
Well, there you go, Joel. Everybody's like, do it. Nobody's like, yeah, okra. It's like, yeah, okra. It's okay. I'll eat it. I want to give an update because I know people are on the edge of their seat, but come to find out, if you just do a little bit of searching, that Armbian has a configuration tool, Armbian-config, which will allow you to set up your wireless networking very easily without having to do all the other commands with IW config and stuff. So I did that, put my information in there. Boom, I'm networking, so I'm good there. I brought up the browser, and my first impression was it does run faster than Android browsing, but it's still pretty slow. So I had the browser up. I was testing a couple of different pages. I went to USA Today, because that's where I work. I was curious to see how that would load in. And in the terminal that I had open, I was running top. So this is running Chromium. And there are four cores on this thing. Top is showing me that the past 1 minute load on the system went between 4 and 6. A load of 4 and 6. So that means that it was 1 to 2 times the load than the processors available would be able to handle. So things were sluggish. Not as bad as on Android, but still noticeably sluggish. And when you had said that the Picard trailer was out, well, sure enough, I had to go check it out on YouTube on the Pine Book, and that was a no-go. It was like watching a slideshow. A fast slideshow, but it was like a slideshow. So I don't think my personal opinion and impression of the Pine Book, I'm not sure it would even be a good replacement for a Chromebook, because I don't have these kind of problems on a Chromebook. But if I wanted to get some like administrative work done or word processing or something that, you know, it doesn't really involve browsing the web, but getting some stuff done like that, Pinebook seems like a great choice. But I just don't see it as a daily driver for consumption. Yeah, I'm curious to see whether the new Pinebook Pro, steps that up a bit. What do you think, Joel? Gorkon, you died?
Sounds good.
Heard Pat there for just a second.
Yeah.
But you've never used the Pinebrook, Pat, have you?
Never.
Well, interesting device. Not sure I'd use it as a daily driver. Man, what else was... There's something else I wanted to say about my phone, I think it was. Or was it the wife's phone? I don't know. Did you get hit? Anybody get hit by the GitHub outage yesterday? Or was it the 22nd? I think it was. Not yesterday. The day before yesterday. It was a nice little... I think it was in the morning. Suddenly... Or was it right after lunch? Can't remember exactly what time it was, but I know that it was a big pain in the butt because it was down for like a few minutes, but it was a noticeable few minutes where we couldn't get any of the work done and stuff was failing, particularly tests, because it could not access the repos anymore. But they got it fixed pretty quickly. But it seemed to hose like something happens with our Jenkins connectivity, and 4 of the repos were Jenkins suddenly decided that those repos had become orphaned and were no longer in use, therefore would not slurp in any PRs or PRs against the master branch or updates to the master branch from those PRs would not be reflective in Jenkins. So that was a problem that we had to sift through today. It was very weird because we could not see why, and we could not solve the problem with the different tests we tried. The only thing that seemed to do it was when somebody went in the admin interface of GitHub and merged something manually into the master branch, which is not something we like to do. It was just a change to a README file. And that, some reason, cleared out whatever problems Jenkins had, and the repository was then active again. So It seems like a very kludgy way to fix it. But I think it did stem from the outage. Were you affected by the outage, Joe?
No. Sorry, I'm not talking much. I'm having congestion problems.
Oh, Joel, I had a question for you. Are you still there? Because your microphone's not showing that you're talking. Joel must have disappeared. Or he went to that New Orleans restaurant.
Fixing printer crap.
Oh, fixing printer crap. Ay, ay, ay. Do you have any vacation plan, Pat?
I took a week already. Really didn't do much.
You do weekend trips?
Yeah, local crap, you know, within a couple hours drive.
You go to the Jersey Shore at all this year?
Not really. I'm not a beach person. You know, if I'm in a nice location that has a nice beach, I'll go to the beach. But in general, I'm not a beach person that has to go to the shore. Just as long as it's not in the Dominican Republic, we're good.
Yeah. We've hit that season down here of, like, and especially the warm weather brought in a lot of jellyfish. So we were down at the beach on Saturday, and they were all over the place. And I usually do a good job of keeping an eye out, but my daughter made friends with somebody else, and we were all horsing around. And I dove into the water, and that's when it hit me right across the face. I knew it. As soon as I ran into it, I'm like, that is a jellyfish tentacle. And that was not a lot of fun, the rest, because it hit me right across the forehead, down the cheek. And then another one hit me on my back of my neck.
Nice.
You know, it was discomforting. It wasn't like too painful. It was just annoying. And then about a half hour later, that's when my daughter got hit in the foot. And that was the end of that. There was tears and, oh, we had to come home after that. But then this morning, the moat was filled with jellyfish. Filled. And after my run, I went down to the beach and I'm like, oh, I got to be extra careful today. And there was no jellyfish. I did not see a single jellyfish on the beach. I had to pick my way through about a bushel of crabs because they were all over the place. And, you know, about 30 feet out, the water was just broiling with fish, and that of course attracted, I think there were two, maybe three pods of dolphins, because the one like right out in front of me, they were pretty close, but then the other two, they were hard to see, they were pretty far out, and like I first I didn't know if it was a birds dropping into the water or it was actual dolphins, but they were pretty cool. Not that anybody gives a shit, right, Joel?
He's still fixing printers.
Ay, ay, ay. So tell me your Docker adventures, Joe.
Oh, but, what is it? The graphic audio? Doctor Who? I brought it up on a couple other podcasts, so I'm wondering if that's what you're talking about. Recent frequent trips to the doctor.
Oh, I said Docker.
Docker.
Docker. I haven't done anything. Not doctor.
I haven't done anything interesting with Docker lately. I'm just basically sticking with the images that I have. I have had a boring existence for the last couple of weeks. other than, you know, heavy lifting. I know, it makes for a terrible show. All right, I am getting a phone call. Let me get back to you.
No problem. Don't. We've been doing a lot of Docker stuff at work. With Joyce and Fun Docker. It worked. It was pretty good.
I'm covering for other people on vacation. It's vacation season. So I have to cover for their systems, and I know nothing about them. So it's like, you know, a total clusterfuck.
Is this... Wait, are you talking about Docker or just systems you're not familiar with?
Just in general. Just systems I'm not familiar with.
Don't you love that? And just when you start to get a little familiar with, they're going to come back, and then you're not going to touch it again, are you?
My favorite is like the ticket is issued by this one dude who's supposedly the subject matter expert from the business side, and then it winds up that he didn't do a configuration setup that he would normally have to do in the first place, and that's what caused the problem.
Aye. And then what's the response to that? I'm sorry, or
fucking crickets is the fucking response.
Mm-hmm. Well, printer stuff. The wife's trying to print it's basically our doctor's office wants them to fill out the patient history. This is a form they normally give you every time you visit them. They want you to fill it out now before you get there. Well, I go to print it on her laptop. Every single time I try and print it, it's a 3-page PDF file. Every time I try to print it, it errors out. I print everything else from every other computer in the house. No problem. But if I try to print this PDF, it doesn't fucking print.
Just from her laptop or from any printer in the house?
I'm trying. I just emailed myself the link to the file. I want to try printing it from both. Linux, I have to actually add that printer to it. But my other Windows laptop already has it. So I think I'm going to try to print it there first. And if it doesn't work there, see if Linux can make it work.
It's never ending.
Garbage PDF files, I'm telling you.
Now, how do you know it's not Windows and the PDF files are perfect?
It's coming from my doctor's office, that's why. The only thing they do good is take care of us. Let me try printing it from Windows first, then I'll try it from Linux. Oy.
Well, if it's successful from Windows, are you going to try it from Linux then too? Or
I might anyway, just because I haven't added that printer to this laptop for some dumb reason yet. Well, because you know why, Dan? Because I don't fucking print.
Yeah. How often do you print
these
general?
Days?
Yeah, I know.
The only person that prints in this house is my wife. I mean, I might, if I'm doing, a checklist or something, or if I need to print out, say, the most common thing I would print would be, a boarding pass for an airline. Even then, I don't do that. 9 times out of 10, I just send it to Passbook on my iPhone, or just the text of the email on my other phone, and I've got it with me. But I'm wondering if it's because she has ancient freaking drivers or hasn't done any Windows updates in forever and a day. I'm trying it from there. And my wife's one of those people that says, well, you work in computers, you should know how to fix it, right?
Yeah, Joel.
Right?
Sit in front of that damn thing every day. You should know how to fix it.
Right.
If anybody in that family knows how to fix it, it should be you, right?
Yeah.
You should tell her to put in a request with ServiceNow. You'll get back to her.
Hey, I still have. I have to probably start answering those tickets as I'm starting to work with our cloud transition team.
Gosh, I hate service now.
I got to do some of my first cloud team work today with them, and basically installed it. I installed UI, our web API, and self-service for them. And they always do new installations instead of override installations. Don't know why, because they're making their lives harder, but whatever. I guess they gotten bit by stuff. I don't know. But so I go and do all those things, and I think I got it all right. But then I'm looking at their past installs, like the previous version, because they had the previous version still installed on there, and they didn't do any of the baseline tuning that we would normally do in professional services. And I'm like, why is this not done? I might bring that up to the powers that be and ask them why, because they should be doing at least that, because they're not even putting connection pools or anything like that in there. And the thing I'm worried, they said, well, we've never had anybody complain about performance. I'm like, yeah, not yet. I mean, no, it's in the magical AWS cloud, but we'll see. I can probably teach them some things.
Yeah.
And they also have really weird system names, which you can tell they're there's the two mentalities. You got pets that you care for and which you care what you name them, and then you got people, you know, people just minding the herd. At least they do kind of make some sort of sense, but they're actually pretty cryptic unless you actually know had someone explain it to you. Okay, why can't I? I'm on KDE and I'm trying to find how to add the printer and I can't find it.
Open up Notepad, tell it to print, and then search for printer.
Ooh, actually, I probably just send it from Chrome.
Man, you got a lot of stuff to print from over there. Not a single one's working, right?
I don't know. We'll see. Actually, it completely left on my Surface, so it must have been. I'll see if it actually came out okay. But oh, my wife. You ever seen an episode of the IT crap? Now, I'm pretty sure she doesn't have viruses, okay? But have you ever seen the episode of the IT Crowd where Jen's laptop looks like it's just completely hokered? That's what my wife's laptop is, with the exception of the viruses. She doesn't have viruses or any of the weird-ass middle 2000s spyware shit on it. But she has, like, she's the kind of person where she keeps every damn thing on her fucking desktop.
Oh, it's not one of those browser windows where it's got 15 bars and you can't actually see the website you're on?
No, nothing near that bad, because I wouldn't let her use IE. I told her to use Chrome or Firefox. And eventually she listened and said, you know what, it is better when I don't use my Internet Explorer. I'm like, I told you.
Are you going to let her switch back to Internet Explorer when, you know,
or Edge? Start. No. She don't even use Edge either.
Edge when it becomes the Chromium back.
Bam. I've got to start closing things up soon.
Seems a bit early.
It's almost 10 o'clock.
There's not much going on right now.
10.
Kip.
What were you saying?
I gotta get ready for camping. I need, one of the things I need to do, and it's gonna be on my short list for the weekend, I need to go out there and see how much gear I still have and whether certain things work. Like, for example, if my stove's out, if I still have my stove, then I want to get a can of propane, make sure that sucker works.
That's always a good thing to check.
Yeah, well, I mean, the only reason I'll probably need it is for coffee in the morning.
I thought you were going to make cold brew.
Well, I could do that, but I'm just going to take my AeroPress with me. That'll work. Or I can just buy a couple of jugs of Stoke and stick it in the cooler.
Are you bringing a generator with you?
Campsite has power.
Then get one of those self-heating kettles.
Yeah, I could do that too, but...
Electric kettle.
Friday night, we're, you know, eating town because I'm probably gonna be kind of beat just getting there, you know, driving up there. It's not a long drive, but then after we get across on the ferry, I'm gonna have to set the tent up and all that jazz, you know, set camp up. So I figure Friday we're just gonna either walk or drive in town and pick one of the restaurants and eat there. But the rest of the weekend, I think we're gonna cook there. Printed okay off of my Surface. I think she has a driver issue on her laptop. Go figure. I don't know if it. I guess it printed okay from Chrome on Linux, but that printer's a Google Cloud printer. There really was no setup. I just had to pull it up and just print it from Chrome.
What's she running on her machine?
Windows 10.
Might have to use the add a printer.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's been a really long time since I've done anything with Windows 10, so...
It just always aired out on hers. It would, the driver, the little window... would just say something like air it out and didn't tell you why, just air it out.
Make a print server.
Psh, nah, I don't need to do that. So yeah, I'm gonna try and do a lot of our cooking on open fire anyway. Like for lunch, I don't know. For lunch, I might do something cold, but we might do like some hot dogs or something Saturday night. Really, it's one day worth of meals that I have. I'm thinking about cooking breakfast in the morning and dinner. If I don't do like hot dogs over the fire, I'll do like camp pies or something like that. You ever make those, Dan?
What are camp pies?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. There's two pieces come together. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's basically sort of like a panini maker, but there's no grooves in it. And it's basically like a clamshell deal that goes on like a long arm so they can stick it in the fire.
Okay.
So, right. And then usually just take bread, butter the, not the inside part, but the outside part. And then you put one piece of bread down, and then you put your toppings down. So, like, one common thing we do is we get a can of, like, pie filling, like apple pie filling. And then we would, you know, put a blob or two of that in there, put the other piece of bread with the butter facing the iron portion, clamp that sucker shut, and it kind of seals it too, kind of like a little pie. And then you stick it in the fire until for a few minutes until the outside gets nice and brown. So, okay. But one of the reasons why I like those is because they're so flexible. You can make sweet ones. You can make I've taken like some mozzarella, some pepperoni, and some pasta or pizza sauce. Made little pizza pockets. My dad's taken like sauerkraut and hot dogs. And threw them in there that way. That worked too. So any of that kind of stuff, you know, like I think for breakfast, what I probably do was I'm gonna take my cast iron with me because it's so easy to clean it. Basically, you don't have to wash it. You just kind of scrape the stuff off of it and wipe it out with a paper towel. Put a little bit of oil on it, and you're done. So since that's such an easy cleanup, I'll probably take that with us to do a lot of the fry pan cooking. So then I plan on like making the eggs up ahead of time, maybe some bacon or sausage. You know, you would just cook them in the pan and then take some eggs, bacon, and cheese, throw it between those two bread slices, and then put that in the fire. Here I'm going to make Dan hungry.
I take it nobody's gotten a pie for yet still.
Nope.
Not
me. You didn't get one, did you, Joe?
No, not yet. They're back order everywhere in the U.S. still. I think the earliest I saw, though, was July 31st that it would ship. Not that you would get it.
I did watch Christopher Barnett that has the Explaining Computers channel where he did a test, several tests with the Pi. He did the Pi 4 in the original case, a Pi 4 with a heatsink, and I don't know if he had a case. I don't think he had a case on it. But then he tried a bigger heatsink. And then you try active cooling with a fan on it. And I think the only one that didn't throttle at all was the one with the active cooling. So when I finally do get one, then I actually got a case I printed for it. We already talked about that, but I got a case already for it. So I'll probably just buy a fan to go in there, or I may try some of the other I heard somewhere they're trying to make some cases that are similar to the NUC which have a little bit more room in them. I might try that. But then I gotta think, what am I gonna do with it? You know. If I buy that, then I'm probably gonna buy an LCD and make it a permanent computer here in the office.
Do it.
I guess I could print 3D print that arcade case. That's a lot of filament. A lot of hours printing too. I did print a Saturn V the other day for the 50th anniversary of the moon landing.
How long did that take?
Probably about 6 hours, although I reprint some, because the first stage, when I first printed it, I printed it so that you could, it had a basically just the service module and capsule with the tower printed separately, and it was designed so that the top stage would plug that in there, and they had that in the bunch of STLs I downloaded for that. They had that just separate, then they also had the upper booster with everything molded together, which when I reprinted it, that's how I printed it. Because the first time I printed it, the whoever designed it, it actually just prints basically a shell. No matter what, how much infill you tell it to, it's actually hollow. So I went to pull the first one off the bed, and it cracked right around the. If you look at the Saturn V, where it kind of reduces from the big booster to the upper stage there, right along that edge there, this is where it cracked. So, and then once I got everything printed, I tried to put it together, and I busted some tabs on it too. So I had to. I went back and I looked at it, and I said, "Oh wait, you're supposed to print these clips too." You see, sometimes when you download stuff from Thingiverse, sometimes they just don't tell you how you're supposed to print it, so you're just supposed to figure it out. I guess, I don't know, but I finally figured it out, and it actually came out really nice. I printed it very high detail because this guy actually put a lot of the detail in there. So like this sections of the Saturn V that are actually corrugated on the outside, they're corrugated on this print. So I could probably print it larger, but it would the larger you print it, the longer it takes, of course. So the size I have probably took, I would say, probably about 6 to 8 hours total between multiple prints. So not too bad. Yeah, I'm really hoping that that plastic footlocker that I had with all my camping gear in it is out there. At least all my kitchen gear that I had. I think we're already planning on buying new sleeping bags just because we want new ones.
School's getting ready to start soon. Keep an eye on Facebook Marketplace. Everybody's selling their last year's model of computers or buying a new one. As crazy as that sounds.
Yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be, right?
Yeah, I guess.
They only last a year.
Well, evidently.
One of the girls that Luke bowled with in League, I saw her at the Youth Open this weekend, and she's going to our art school called SCAD, SCAD in Atlanta. You know, I was talking to her, I said, I bet you guys, and this is something I'm still trying to figure out, why in the world art schools are still pushing Macintosh. And she said,
habit.
Well, that's it. Well, and she said, but Creative Cloud runs better on a Mac. I'm like, I run it all the time on Windows. I have no problems with it. So, but now she saved up and bought herself a Mac for college. The bad part, I mean, I'll say this. They do make good hardware, don't they, Dan?
Who, Macintosh?
Except for the stupid touch bar.
Yeah.
Maybe in 2012 they made good hardware. It's just that they never stopped making it.
Yeah. Actually, I heard if you want a MacBook Pro that you have to get the Touch Bar now. They don't have the model without the Touch Bar anymore.
Sounds like an Apple move.
Yep. And you can't fix them either. Or upgrade the RAM or any of that jazz.
You don't need to. You just throw it away and get a new one.
Okay, it is getting late and I gotta go feed my dogs.
No, just buy the iPad Pro, right?
That's it. That is it.
Right, I'll talk to you guys next week.
Have a good one, Joe. We're going to wrap this up.
You too.
Yep.
Ay, ay, ay. All right. Dun, 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 dun. Oh. This is it, Joe. Joe, when's your camping trip? Mm-hmm.
August. It's 1 month from yesterday.
Oh, okay, cool. I'm going to play us out these promos that everybody likes to listen to. And, yep. All right, here we go. Thank you very much for listening, and we will see you in a week. Dun 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 dun.
Oh my God! It's Hacker Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Jack Attack Podcast. Where chic,
oh dear,
meets geek.
Ones and zeros, ones and zeros, ones and zeros.
Powered by Linux.
Linux.
You by fun. Recorded in Windsor, Nova Scotia. With your hosts, John Watson and Kelly Penguin Girl.
A girl?
A girl.
A girl?
It's the Jack Attack. That's the JAKattack.com. Time well wasted.
Hi, folks, this is Chatter. Jay Wisher, Honky Magoo, 5150, and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduke to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script, and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com, IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. Email us at feedback at linuxlugcast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. But join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Mm, yeah, with my tongue brush.
Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
All right. Still there, Joe?
Yep.
So you had a good time in Detroit.
Yep. Got me some Coney's while I was there because that appears to be the local food that everyone likes up there. Well, Coney Island places. I didn't have any Coney's up there. I actually had a Euro.
All right. All right, tell everybody goodnight. I'm going to stop the recording.
Good night. So Monday when we got back, ended up going over to the dealer, and it's been there since Monday afternoon, and they gave me a loaner.
Did they find a problem with it? Or?
It's the rear evaporator in the air conditioning. It was leaking, and that's what leaked all the Freon out.
Huh. So they gotta replace it? He's peeking, Pat.
How you doing?
Can you turn yourself up a bit? I can barely hear you, sir.
How about now?
That's a lot better.
Rich is not going to be on tonight.
Yeah, I got the email. The entire message was in the subject.
That's economical, don't you think?
Yeah.
Who the fuck likes long wind ass fucking emails?
Da-da.
At least when they gave me a loaner car, I got a brand new 2019 Traverse. I had to take it back though, but yeah. I'll talk a little bit about that on the show because it's got stuff mine don't have. And at least I have the warranty, damn, because I looked around and that repair could have cost $1,600.
Oh, that would stink.
Yes, it would, because I like to be cool. I'm changing my mind on doing extended warranties, especially on the big expensive things like cars. Especially when you get a repair and it can cost that much friggin' money.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, Joe?
Hey, Joe. Oh, Dan, I got to try me some crawfish for the first time.
Hopefully not going to be the last time, right?
Certainly not. Now I want to try them just out, you know, like, just in a boil. I had it in the etouffee, so I didn't have to do the hard job.
Ay, ay, ay.
And I got to go someplace cool, too, that I'll talk a little bit about, too. When I was in Detroit.
Oy, oy, oy. Guess we should start.
Your mouse is loud, dude.
Whose mouse?
I think it's yours, Dan.
You hear that clicking?
Yeah, I can.
Ay, ay, ay. All right. What are you going to do? Gotta stop screwing around with this. Get this show on the road. Because Joe's here. And he says, we gotta go.
Right?
It's not your fault we were late, Dan.
Oy, oy, oy.
For once, you actually beat all of us.
It's alright. Sometimes you gotta be the winner. To get that chicken dinner, right, Joe?
That's right.
Let's see what we got going on here. Come. Oh, the kitty, kitty, kitty. Oh, wait a minute. I'm looking for something before I start the show. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Oh, wait a second. What? Oh. Okay. All right. This has got to be it, I think. You know what I'm saying, Joel?
Sure. I'm as sure as a pulled pork barbecue sandwich from Burger King.
Yeah, that's
the or tacos.
All right. Okay. All right. Stop saying all right already.
Yeah, freaking play us in, man.
Oh, no. It's going to be show... It's 818. And making sure I have the mumble up. Not the mumble, the chat. Yeah, the IRC. Nobody seemed to be on. All right. Here we go.